Man, welcome back to Church Online, man. We've been hammering through the book of Jonah, and now we're in Jonah chapter 4. And last week we covered verses 1 and basically a little bit of verse 2. It says this, "But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry." We learned last week when God chose to save the city of Nineveh, Jonah was fired up about it, man. He did not like it. He was so unhappy. God decides to be extra gracious, and Jonah is displeased. It just reveals his character, his heart. But verse 2 says, "And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and of a great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil." The good news is Jonah prays, but his prayer ends up being a huge complaint. That's what he's doing. He's complaining to the Lord here how unhappy he was. And this is why he left the first time, because he knew what kind of God that God was, that he was gracious and that he was full of mercy, slow to anger, of great kindness, and repentest of evil when he chooses to. And so, you know, last week what we covered was Jonah's character, his displeasure in what God's will was, and also how he was very angry. He was hot, and how his emotions, man, they controlled everything he was doing, you know. And so this week what we're going to do is focus on the character of God, you know. So this week will be a little bit better. I feel like as a pastor, I don't do this enough. I end up being a preacher, man. Sometimes I preach against, like, my humanness and our human behavior and repenting. And sometimes instead of just focusing on the goodness of God. You know, it says in verse 2, Jonah says, "God, I knew. I knew what kind of God you were." And not only did he know just from history that God is capable of doing incredible damage to people, but he chooses not to. He often reacts in grace and out of mercy. And then all of a sudden, we know that Jonah died. And God resurrected him from the grave just to get this. He had a second chance at this, you know. So Jonah knew firsthand what kind of God that God is. So let's pray, dive into the character traits of God. God, I pray, just speak to our hearts. May we leave today. May we leave this message just really knowing in our hearts who you are and being so encouraged by that, how your goodness overrides our badness. In your name we pray. Amen. He says in verse 2, "God, I knew that you were a gracious God." God is gracious, man. You know, somebody's gracious, they're so filled with grace, but this here would be God has pity. God will show favor. Grace and mercy are often connected in the Bible. So God here is overly gracious. Do you remember when American Idol first started up years ago? Our family used to watch that show. And the funny thing about it is, there for a while you had Simon Cowell. He was the guy that was rough on people, right? They say he was truthful, but rarely gracious. Then there was Paula Abdul. She was on there for a bit. And she was very gracious, but not always truthful. The opposite of Simon. But then there was Randy Jackson. Randy Jackson was often truthful, but very gracious. So a lot of times people are like, man, be like Randy Jackson. Well, we're going to learn today, we'd rather be like the Lord, the God of heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so gracious, gracious. Exodus chapter 22, verse 27 says, "If people cry out, God hears, and he's often gracious." Do you realize God is gracious because we're needy, right? People are so needy. I don't know if you remember, and like, you know, in Exodus chapter 34, Moses is coming off that mountain. He's fired up. He throws down the two tablets, God's word. He breaks all of them, man. Like, he breaks all of the commandments. You know what God says? God says, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go up and write another one. For I am gracious. He broke all the commandments. This is when grace really shines. When you're able to get a real glimpse of how bad you really are, and then how God responds, my gosh, he is so gracious. Anybody that will turn to him, God says he will not turn away from us. Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 17, this verse says this, "God is ready to pardon. He's gracious and merciful. See, grace and mercy together. God's ready. I want you to know that today. God's ready. Even to a city of Nineveh that did not deserve it. They're enemies against, they're Assyrians, man, against God's people. They turned to God and repented of their sin. The Bible says, God is ready. You know, to be gracious people, we've got to be ready to give grace. Always ready, just like our God. God is so gracious. You know something about God's grace? I can be gracious at times. I can be filled with grace every once in a while. But you know what the Bible says? God is full of it. He is full of compassion. He is, every time the passage that used the word compassion, that God is full of it, you know what it always says? He's gracious and plenteous in mercy. Look through the Psalms, man. Just read the Psalms and you'll find God is so full. God's grace never runs out. He has boatloads of it, man. Boatloads of it. He is plenteous in mercy. Now in the New Testament, when you study the word, not grace, but the word gracious, twice, it mentions in Luke 4:22, it says that people were wondered at the words of Jesus' mouth. And they said, well, we wonder how gracious words come out of his mouth. You know, his words were gracious. And this is one thing for you and me, one way we can show our grace and being gracious to people is by the way we speak, right? And then 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 3, it talks about us desiring. Let's just look there. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 3. 1 Peter 2 and verse 3, it says this. It says, verse 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. If so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. I love this verse, man. So desire the sincere milk of the word that we may grow thereby. If so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. God's graciousness is something that you have to experience, man. He says, if you've tasted it, man, grow. Get in God's word and get after it. You know, I know we kind of shy away sometimes from feelings because they shouldn't dominate our lives. But, man, God's grace is something that is to be felt. I was so needy, and he came by and rescued my soul. I experienced it. It's like talking about some delicious food. You can look at the pictures all you want to in the magazine. You can look at the videos. But until you put it in your mouth and be like, my gosh, that is so good. And this is how God's grace is. Let's taste it today, man. Jonah said, I knew that thou art a gracious God. You know, the next word he follows up with is, and merciful. Grace and mercy often go together in the Bible. Grace and mercy. So check this out. Grace is getting what you do not deserve, right? God is so gracious. Like, we deserve punishment. We deserve hell. And we don't get that, right? Well, mercy is not getting what you do deserve. Not getting what you do deserve. I got a great testimony of this in my own life when I first started going to Bible school. Alan Shelby, he's a pastor in Blue Springs, Missouri, but he was a professor, pastor in our Bible school. And man, I'm out of high school. High school was like super easy for me. I didn't even care. I never studied. I cheated often. You know, I just was that kind of kid. And the next thing you know, I'm in Bible school and they give a very hard exam. He says, here's the answer key, but I need you before Saturday morning to turn this in. Use the answer key. The test is very similar. Then throw it away and take the test. Well, we're at 1 in the morning now, and my test is literally due in like 7 hours. So I did what most people would do, what I was used to doing, and I cheated, man. I even marked a couple of them wrong just so he would know that I wasn't like this perfect student, you know. Well, I got an A. Well, God convicted me. Here's the beautiful part about this story. I was so convicted, a couple weeks later, I finally went and I cried. And I just said, I need to ask your forgiveness. I'm a cheater, man. I cheated on this test. And he literally said, well, it sounds like you learned your lesson. I said, well, let me take it again. I'll take it again tonight. I'll look over the notes. I'll study and I'll pass that thing tonight. He said, nope, you got an A. It sounds like God gave you you got the grade that you deserve. God already worked you over on this thing, man. And I was like, no way. Here's the crazy part about it. Some years later, I'm at a missions conference and he's there. We're sitting around talking, and of course, I'm feeling, every time I'm around him, I'm feeling like a little kid that, you know, got caught cheating, you know, so, which was true. So I went up to him and I said, hey man, Alan, do you remember, man, when I was a young man in Bible school and I cheated on that test? And he looked right at me, he goes, yeah, I don't remember that. I was like, my gosh, you are full of compassion, man. You are very merciful, because I deserve an F. I deserve to get kicked out of Bible school, and yet you gave me an A. Thank you, Alan Shelby, but thank you, Jesus Christ. Thank you to the Lord, because I know, man, I knew that thou art a gracious and a merciful God. Hey, let me give you some words in the Bible that describe God's mercy, right? The Father of mercy. One would be like chapter 1, verse 78. It talks about the tender mercies of God. So also mentioned in James, God's mercies are tender. Mercy is tender. It reminds me of a kid that, you know, falls, you know, scrapes their knee. They run right past dad and they want to go into the arms of somebody that's a little more tender. And they go to mama, right? And humans tend to be rough. God's mercy is tender. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:4 that God is rich in his mercy. God is rich in mercy. You know why? He is rich. He never runs out of cash, man. He never runs out of mercy. And you and me, though, a humanist side is that we're poor. We are so poor. And so God bestows mercy upon us, his riches. So see, mercy's tender and God is rich in it. And then another word is the word abundant. 1 Peter mentions in chapter 1 and verse 3, 1 Peter 1, 3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. His mercy is so abundant, right? See, we're scarce, man. We are lacking. And God is abundant, man. His grace, his mercy. Guys, he's got shiploads, man. Boatloads, truckloads of it. We tend to always be short on it, right? So it's tender, rich, and abundant. Three things that human beings lack and God's mercy provides. Man, Mike Silva wrote a book. I'd like to read a little part of it for you on this. He says this, most people would be a little embarrassed to have unexpected company when their house is a mess. He says, my family was staying at a hotel in Nigeria, West Africa, one time when I heard a knock on the door. I opened it and found a smiling Nigerian gentleman ready to clean our room. I was so embarrassed, man. See, my family had travel bags, curling irons, crumpled clothes all over the place. Our beds were not made. Wet towels were all over the bathroom floor. And he says, man, I apologize profusely, but the young man replied graciously, no problem, sir. For this reason, I have come to put your things in order. This is the reason I came. See, the Bible says this is exactly what Jesus Christ came to do for you and me, to put our lives in order. This is why grace and mercy are so important. You know the kind of people that need mercy? The Bible says, may God, like, be merciful to me, a sinner. The unrighteous, the Bible says, need mercy. So you know what mercy is for? Mercy is for mistakes, man. And mistakes deserve punishment. And mercy excuses it, man. Did you realize this? This is for all of you ministers out there and you pastors. Paul always starts his books off with saying, grace and peace, grace and peace. Grace and peace. But you know when he addresses pastors, the books like to Timothy, Titus, you know what he says? He adds a word in there, grace, mercy, and peace. I love this. You know why? Because mercy is for mistakes. Sometimes as pastors, we're supposed to have all the answers, ain't we? All eyes are on us. That's something people never give a lot of grace and mercy to us, because we're humans. You know, yeah, we're supposed to be godly. We should set an example for sure. But we are definitely humans. And this is why the Bible says grace, mercy, and peace. We get God's mercy. Man, if you go to the New Testament and you just read all... Hey, what about all those blind... Remember the blind guys on the side of the road? And what are they yelling out to Jesus? Have mercy on us. Have blind people need mercy, man. People that are vexed with the devil, they cry out, have mercy. Have mercy. Lunatics, man. People that just can't even run, the Bible says. These lame people. Man, have mercy on us. And so guess what? I guess this proves, you know the kind of people that need mercy? Us. Me. You. It's not perfect, is it? No, we're born in sin, man. We faint very easily. And this is why we need God's mercy. We were sick and dying. In the midst of our grieving, we cry out, God, have mercy. Hey, maybe it's time for you to do that again today. You find yourself in a bad spot. Man, cry out for God's mercy. Because he's abundant in it, man. It's tender. He's so rich, man. I'd like to show you one of my favorite verses on mercy found in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. Hebrews 4:16 says this. Let us, therefore, come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. See, we come boldly to God's throne of grace to what? To obtain mercy, because it's there. Then he says that we can find grace and help in time of need. Isn't that beautiful? The bottom line is, when you're needy, we have needs in our life. And this is when we need God's mercy, man. Let's go get it, man. Go boldly to the throne of grace today. God, what is it about us, man? Like in the Western part of the world especially, like there's an arrogance to us, man. We got to fix our own problems, right? Have all the solutions, especially being a man. You feel like you always got, instead of sometimes just crying, say, God, have mercy on us, man. God, have mercy on me because I know what I deserve. And so Jonah's here, you know, he's displeased and angry because God literally saved a whole city, a whole group of rotten people that didn't need it. And Jonah says, God, and I knew, man, you were gracious in mercy. I knew this could happen because that's what kind of God you are. You know what it says next? It says, and God, you were gracious and merciful and slow to anger. We kind of covered this last week. We talked a lot about anger in the human emotion in us that messes things up when we're angry and we sin. Not righteous anger. But the Bible puts the emphasis here on God is slow to anger. You know, you always think that God's the smartest guy in the class, but you know, there's actually areas that he's slow in. One's anger. He's slow to anger. The bottom line is this, just like he tells us to, hey, don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. See, God don't stay angry, and he don't get angry very easily. He's God. He's in charge. He's in control. So our anger, man, our anger needs to be like his, which is very slow. Let's not be quick to it. God has a lot of discretion, right? He is slow to anger, and let's be like him. Notice all these traits, gracious, merciful, now slow to anger, all things that we need in our lives, but they're so contrary to human behavior. So let's be slow to anger because this is who God is, and Jonah knew it. He said, God, I know you're these things, man. You were slow to anger. Because, you know, Jonah could have been easily squashed. And God, instead, what did he do? Yeah, there was consequences for his running and his rebellion. But God shows back up, resurrects him from the grave, gives him a second chance. Jonah knew, man. You know what it says next here in Jonah chapter 4? It says in verse 2 that you were gracious and you got a mercy, you're slow to anger, and of great kindness. Great kindness. You know, there's a song, man, by Corey Asbury, and you don't have to like him or not, but this song's incredible. It's just called Kind. Man, listen to that song. Give that thing a listen, and may it touch your heart. Because when I behaved the way I behaved, and I really probably deserved to be smacked down, God is so kind. And guys, he's just not kind. He's great in his kindness. He is so faithful. You know, the Bible says God's kindness shows up when ours is not there. Luke 6:35 says this, he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. God is so kind, man. You know, studying the love chapter in 1 Corinthians 13, we talk about charity. Charity suffereth long and is kind. It's just simply kind. It's sweet. We're supposed to, Ephesians 4 says, be kind one to another. Be tender-hearted, man, forgiving one another. God has a tender heart, man. When we were foolish and disobedient, look at Titus 3:3, man. This is one of my favorite verses on the kindness. Titus chapter 3 and verse 3. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, we were disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. And verse 4 says, but after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Wow, we're entering the Christmas season too, man. Let me tell you what that little Christ child born in Bethlehem was. It was a package of kindness, man. It was God's grace and mercy to the planet. He said, here, open this up. And in a planet that's riddled with sin and riddled with rebellion, God gives this sweet little package. And, you know, he could come down in vengeance and fire, because the day is coming where he's going to, where time's going to be no more. He's like, okay, I'm going to end this mess. But he doesn't want to come down there. He's not a God that wants to destroy. He's a God that wants to heal and save. That's why his first coming, he comes and he says, you know what I'm going to give? I'm going to give a baby, man. I'm going to give the sweetest thing I can, a kiss. I'm going to give a baby grace and mercy to you. Here is a gift of kindness. When we were foolish, kindness showed up. Isn't that something? God is so rich in his mercy and so kind. Man, listen to this story. There's this 61-year-old grandmother. She was, you know, sliding her groceries across the self-checkout. This was at a Walmart in Woodbury. And the scanner kept beeping and her total kept going up and up and up again. And so finally, this grandmother, she finally, instead of scanning it, she hit the spot where she had some steaks. And she realized, man, she don't have money for all this. She just puts it in her cart. She put it in her cart. She just didn't have enough money. So she thought, she promised her family a good meal of steaks. And so she made just a split decision. And she says, even though I didn't have enough, I'm going to go and bag these things anyways. Well, she was caught. She was seen. Walmart employee stopped her. And so the phone call from Walmart went to the Woodbury Police Department, just like a routine call would go there. And so she was taken to a room away from the other Walmart customers. And she had an 18-year-old daughter, granddaughter with her. And they were all in there. And she was sobbing, man. And it was just a sad scene. You know, and she said, you know, you just get to the point in life where you're drained and you can't even think. My life is not real good. And so Wagner, the police officer, wrote her a citation. And he ran a background check on her. And he said, you know, there was nothing on your background check. You just, maybe a few speeding tickets years ago. He had more than that, he says. Well, anyway, she left the Walmart, drove home with her daughter. Roughly 1 hour later, the phone rang. It was Wagner. And she pictured herself like, oh, my gosh, they're coming back, man. They're going to handcuff me, and he's coming back to get me. But he wasn't. Instead, you know what he did? He stopped at a Christian food pantry, man. And the volunteers are packing up boxes, and he grabbed some of it, all the vegetables, anything he could, and he put them in his squad car. Then he drove to her house, and he knocked on the door, and she said this, I couldn't believe it. I was just overwhelmed in disbelief. She experienced a rush of guilt, and she even said, take that stuff back. She goes, I don't deserve this because I committed such an awful crime. But Wagner wouldn't hear it. The food was delivered right to her kitchen. And then you know what else he did? He talked to Walmart. He voided the citation that he wrote her. And then he threw it in the garbage. See, God, just like this, gives us a second chance. He's so kind. We're so dirty. We're so corrupt. And just like this police officer who, a lady stole, man, she deserved to go to jail. And instead, they, with grace and mercy, became very kind and loving to this lady. Man, what a beautiful picture of our Savior, man. the same guy that Jonah says, I knew you were gracious. That's why I didn't want to go preach. Because I knew your words, even though they were judgment going to come down, if these people repented, that you were a God that would do what? The last thing he says there is, you repentest thee of evil. See, God is so gracious, merciful, slow to anger. He is so great in his kindness that he will turn from the evil that's actually due the very people. You know, repentance is a crazy thing because God is the first person in the Bible that repents in Genesis chapter 6. He repented that he made man. This is awful. You know, and so he was like, my gosh. So God, but you know, let me tell you, God turns, and God doesn't turn because he's a God that makes mistakes. God turns and repents because human beings constantly make mistakes. Humans are so frail and so sinful and so evil that God turns. God is constantly turning. If it wasn't for that, you know what? We would be consumed with God's anger. We would be ate up with judgment. We would never make it. See, God repents of evil. But remember this. God is capable. Remember when Jonah first fled and got on that boat? God caused a great storm. I don't know how many boats were on that water that day, but there was a whole boat filled with men. They thought they were going to die. And God is willing. God is willing to kill a boatload of seamen if he has to. He will. He's capable. Matter of fact, God prepared a massive whale to come up and to take Jonah. God's capable. God's capable in 40 days of overthrowing a city and destroying it. He's very capable. What makes him gracious, filled with mercy, slow to anger, he's so great in kindness that he chooses not to. This is our God. This is who he is. So contrary to me, so contrary to you. So in this book of Jonah, we see a lot happening here, right? And right now we're at this point where Jonah has a sore attitude, man. God has been so gracious to a city that did not deserve it. And God is turning from his wrath on them. And Jonah was not happy about it. But God's will was to be kind. Wow. Beautiful. Hey, that's probably a wrap for this week. So we'll pick it right up here in verse 3 of Jonah chapter 4 next week. Thanks for joining us online.